welcome to episode number one of Renegade Muscle. I am Jeff Roberts, and I am here with the legend, Lee Priest. We're back, Lee. What's up, man?
We're back. Yeah, until we get kicked off again or something happens, you know.
I know. What the fuck? We've already had a fucking hour of technical difficulties, and we haven't even started yet.
That's right. I got up early. I got up at 5 so I could train, which I trained a bit of chest and biceps, and then I figured I'd just do 30 minutes of cardio so I can quickly eat breakfast by 9 o'clock. And now I've just been sitting from 9 to 10 while you do. I think you've got too much fucking porn on your computer fucking clogging it up.
It's got to be what it is. I'd imagine that's what it is. So, yeah, it's been a while. Excited to be back on. What are you, why are you looking so shredded these days?
I don't know. I just got sick of eating. I didn't get sick of eating, but, you know, normally when I bulk up, I can handle, you know, the top of your pants or your boxer shorts does that turnover, which, yeah. You know, not too bad. But after the second and third turnover, I figured, you know, maybe I should start losing some weight because, you know, where your waist comes down, but then it goes out like this on your hips and then on your, like, beneath your hips, so it's a and then down. Yeah. So, I just figured I'd bring it in a bit. So I just started eating cleaner. But I'm still, because I'm doing cardio twice a day, because I do more cardio than training, really, because of my neck still. It's still 5 years going on now, fucked up. But yeah, I just figured I'd just start cleaning the diet up, which is okay, because now I'm just eating cleaner, but I'm still eating shit in between. I'm still having a bit of chocolate here, a bit of ice cream here and stuff, but just doing cardio, whereas before I wasn't doing cardio. So.
Right. Yeah. You just, that's it, huh? You just felt like a, you just felt like you're getting a little too fat?
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, the pants turning over all the time, and then you got to go out somewhere, you got to put a belt on, you're like, nah.
Yeah.
Figured I'll clean it up a bit, so. And now, once I do start cleaning it up, I start thinking, oh, now I'm getting fat. I'm like one of those women. Am I getting fat now? Am I getting fat have I put on a kilo?
Yeah. How lean are you, I mean, compared to how you competed back in the day, how lean are you right now? Like, how far are you from contest condition? You don't look far off.
Probably not, but the thing you see, for the last year and a half or even longer, I haven't taken any gear or anything, so I'm just holding on to my
side.
Are you taking gear? Are you taking gear? I said, no. I said, look, when I take gear, I fucking tell you I'm on gear, so I don't know what the secret is behind that, but so the whole... I'm probably close to contest, like weight and stuff, but, you know, the body composition, because, you know, when you're on gear, you're a lot fuller and sort of stuff like that. And I'm not in that training mindset either. I mean, for contests where you're just, you know, training hard and going super heavy. So, yeah, I can see, like I said, if I shave my quads, there's a couple of veins there. So normally if I got veins going down the quads, I'm sort of getting leaner. But,
damn. No gear at all, huh?
No, I figured what's the point, you know?
Yeah.
People always say, well, why don't you take gear? I said, well, if I, you know, when I first, you know, a while ago, my neck was playing up, I thought I'd try some DECA to see if that would help it, but it didn't. So
yeah,
I've just been taking just normal supplements, and but I've been tempted to try the SARS. Everyone's talking about the SARS and the peptides and that RAD140 or something, but I haven't really looked into it that much to see about it and see if that helps. But I've had a few friends say they reckon it's pretty good and stuff, but yet, you know, half those friends are taking the SARS and the gear at the fucking same time. So how do
I get out of that? I've tried a few of those. That RAD140, I think that's what it's called. Yeah. That was pretty, I don't know, though. I think that those are kind of sketchy because I don't know that there's any real research behind them. But that was powerful. I mean, that I was hardly training at the time and eating like shit. And it put 15 pounds on me. And it was just like, it was a pretty rapid, like, weight gain, almost scary for how little I was doing. But I was doing nothing else at the time, but it was pretty potent.
Well, I got a friend, he's probably in his mid-40s, and he said he started taking it, and he said he gained, like, probably 10 to 14 pounds, but he said when he trained, he just said he got great pumps, his strength felt good and stuff like that. I think he was doing the liquid, like, just 1 mil or so before his workout or something.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, that's how it was. People were like, man, you've been lifting, you've been training. I'm like, not really. It was just that shit, it blew me up pretty good. But I don't know. I don't know that I felt particularly great on it. I didn't do it for very long, just a few weeks.
Yeah. Well, I had a friend, too. He said he was taking, I'm not sure if it was that one or some other one, but he said he went on it and he had to come off because he reckons his blood pressure went through the roof and all these other things happened. So
yeah.
He's like, he said he actually felt worse on some of the SARS than what he did when he took fucking gear. So,
right.
Like you said, if there's not enough research done on it, who knows? It's probably more harmful than fucking gear.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably true. So with the new show, I think as far as how we're planning on doing it, I think we're going to do like 2 to 3 shows a week or a month. I'm sorry. Like 2 to 3 shows a month. I mean, if we can get more in, we'll get more in, but we don't want to say that we're going to do it every week because it's Monday morning for Lee and it's Sunday night for me, Easter. Yeah, so it can be, and then with the, you know, you never know what the connection is going to be like. We're promising every week. We're going to try to do twice a month, 3 times a month, something like that. And we'll, you know, we'll have listener questions like we used to have back when we did International Iron. So definitely listener questions, and then just talking about anything, whether it's Bigfoot or the meaning of life or feminism. All our favorite topics.
Now, when you talk about that, they say, why don't you just shut the fuck up and stick to bodybuilding, you fucking idiot?
Yeah, right.
And then these are the same people, when I look at their profile picture, they're built like this and they're posing. I feel like saying, well, why don't you shut the fuck up and you go stick to darts or something, because the fucking bodybuilding ain't working for you. It's like, they tell me I shouldn't have shouldn't talk about politics or religion or anything in general, Bigfoot or whatever, but yet, they got pictures up posing. They shouldn't be fucking even in the fucking gym, the dickheads. So. Aren't they one to speak? Yeah. Fucking dead.
Yeah, there's so many. I mean,
but
there's. Yeah,
and they're the same ones. If you ever look at them, when they abuse me, they go, but yet, Lee, I don't want to be a bodybuilder. I'm not. But yet, I click on their fucking profile, Instagram or whatever. Every fucking picture, double bicep, shirt off in the gym, doing the most muscular. Next thing, they're flexing their legs. I'm thinking, for someone that doesn't want to be a bodybuilder, every second picture is a fucking mandatory fucking pose, and you got your fucking shirt off flexing in a fucking gym. Even I didn't do that as a professional. I took my shirt off for a photo shoot or a tank top for a photo shoot. I never took fucking photos like that, but yet
yeah.
I don't want to be a bodybuilder. And the reasoning is because I don't want to take drugs and do that to my body. Okay.
Yeah, right. Fucking suck.
You probably are taking drugs and you still just look like shit, so shut up.
Right. Yeah, that's most of those guys. I mean, it's the same as the guys that say, I don't want to be huge. I just want to get in shape, but I don't want to be huge. It's like, oh, Jesus, if you suddenly become huge on accident, please let me know how you did that. Oh, yeah. You know,
well, like, what the hell? If I train my arms, they can get really big, but I just don't want to have big arms. They just explode if I train them. I'm like,
yeah,
okay, yeah.
Right.
No guy wants to have a good set of arms, does he? It's like, you know,
God forbid.
I'm only 17. I don't want to go to 18 or 19 inches. Just 17, I'd like to stay around. I'm like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that, too, with the 17-inch arm, wear the fucking smallest shirt they can buy from the Gap or something in the female section.
Right.
Or Crombie and Finch, that fucking tight shirt. Well, it's so tight here, and then they're so fucking skinny, they got the tight shirt here, and they wear their fucking collar up looking like a proper dick.
So I guess, what's the deal with the virus in Australia? Is it locked down? Is shit closed?
We're locked down. Well, this is the controversy here, because we're locked down. You can leave for essentials, the grocery store, if you got to go to a doctor's appointment, or if you got to go to work, if you're still working, you can leave the house. You can go exercise. They closed the beaches. See, this is the thing. I think yesterday the state of Queensland handed out $800,000 in fines. New South Wales handed out $1 million in fines. So this is the thing. You can go to the beach. Like, a beach is fucking miles long, so you're separated from everyone.
Yeah.
You can walk on the beach, but you cannot sit. If you sit, you'll get a fine. Same as a guy was in the park. No one else around in this huge, massive park. He's laying there reading the book. The cops come over and give him a fine. So you can walk and keep moving, but you're outdoors. You're in the sun. There's breeze blowing. You're away from people, but you can't stop and sit there. A worker eating a kebab on his lunch break got a fine. So what's he meant to do? Walk around eating his fucking lunch? But yet you can still go to a grocery store where you're in a meter and a half of people. They have shopping centers are open. It's like, so some people are getting fines for like even just going for a drive. Well, wait a minute. If I live in the house with my wife, we're the only two people, and now we hop into the car and go for a drive, if you haven't got a valid reason where you're driving to, they give you a fine. But I'm like, I'm with my wife. I'm not infecting anyone and sitting inside my fucking car. So that's just bullshit. They got all these. And then 2 weeks ago, stay inside. You can't go out. You can't go out. The state of Queensland had their state elections where over 2 million people had to go out and vote, get in voting lines, go to voting booths. But that's okay. And if you didn't go and vote in Australia, even though it's a democracy, if you don't vote, you get fined. So over 2 million people had to go out of their homes to go vote. But that's okay. That's like, it's mixed messages. If you don't want people to go out, shut the places down. A guy yesterday went to the garbage tip, you know, where you take all your rubbish and shit.
He got
fined for going there because they said it wasn't essential. But getting rid of your rubbish is essential. And if it's opened, why can't I go? If you don't want me
to go, why is it open?
It's like we have stores here like Harvey Norman. That's like an electrical store that sells TVs, washing machines, blah, blah, blah. A guy got a fine because he was going to buy a bigger TV. And the policeman that stopped him said, well, I don't think that's essential. He could argue the point. Well, I'm stuck at home. I want a bigger TV for my mental health because I've got to sit inside all this time. But, and again, if the TV store is open, why can't I go then? They've got ads on TV. We're open. Just keep your social distancing once in the store. You're putting ads on TV saying come to the store, but keep your social distancing. But on my way there, if this policeman deems it's not essential, I get a $1,000 ticket. So that's all.
Yeah, that's strange. I mean, they're not doing that here. Yeah, they're not. I mean, only essential businesses are open, but it's, I mean, they're pretty liberal with the term essential. I mean,
but that's the same here because really it's like we've got Bunnings is like a Home Depot. It's open, but then some of the people on the news are saying, well, that's not essential. I'm like, well, maybe if you're stuck at home and you need light bulbs or you need something electrical, or if you are stuck at home under this lockdown, that's the best time to do home repairs or do shit that you haven't been able to do because you've been going to work. If you don't want to go to the hardware store, then fucking shut the thing. Just leave open grocery stores and doctors, the things that you deem are essential. Close everything else down. Fucking hell.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's weird here because, I mean, the pet stores, I'm pretty sure even like pet stores and stuff, a lot of things are, you can only pick things up at the curb. You come up and the employee comes out. But no, there's no... there's no enforcement. Like, you're not going to be asked why you're out. You can go out all you want. I mean, I went, you can pretty much do what you go where you want to go as long as the place is open.
A lot of people now are stopping because ours are actually just pulling people over randomly. And like, I live in the state of New South Wales and we have Queensland. They've actually shut all the borders. So it'd be like, if you lived in the state of New York, you couldn't drive down to another state, North Carolina, they'll stop you at the border. If you don't live in that state or have a valid reason to go there, they turn you around. So pretty much all the states now, you can't go into different states driving without a valid reason and stuff. So you can't even, here's another thing, like it was holiday time. They say don't go camping. To me, going into the bush, or America calls it the forest, that, how much more can you get away from people? Why not go?
Yeah.
As long as you're away from people, you're out in the fucking forest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best place to be. You're not going to get a fucking virus out there unless if you're in America, a fucking grizzly bear comes down and gives you the fucking virus or something. But fucking hell.
Yeah.
As I said, it's just mixed messages. And as I said, it just comes down to the cop on that day. If he thinks that what you're doing is not essential, he'll write you a ticket. And they said, they even had a lawyer on TV saying, when this is all over, the court system's going to be that jammed up with people fighting these tickets, and they will win because it's just stupid shit that they're writing. I figured, you know, the government's giving out all this money. They've got to try and recoup it back somehow. So they're writing all these fucking tickets. So it's just, that's crazy. But yet you watch the police, they go around in groups. Like there'll be a group of cops, six or seven of them. They're not wearing masks or gloves. So I guess the virus doesn't affect people in authority. It only affects other people.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre, but there's not really, it's probably 20% less busy out, like less traffic and people at the store and stuff. But even if you go to a grocery store at 5 o'clock, it's slammed pretty much the same as normal. And then they've reduced the hours. So even 24/7 Walmarts are now, they close at 8 p.m. So they're always busy. which seems like counterproductive to preventing the spread of a virus, but
we just started the people on the doors now. You can only go in one door and exit the other side of the grocery store, and there's a person there with a clicker. So depending on how big the store is, they're only letting so many people in the store at a certain time, which now causes the big fucking lineup out the front of the store.
Right. That's like, yeah, exactly. It's crazy. I don't know. Are you? But you're able to. The gyms are open over there?
No, the gyms are closed.
Are you able to train?
Yeah, I got a bit of stuff at home, so I just do what I can at home. So,
yeah, you
know, it's like all these people going into meltdown. Well, what am I going to do, Lee? How am I going to train? It's like, mate, I look at their photo. Trust me, Jeff. When I look at their photos, they're worried about losing size. They got fucking nothing to lose. Unless their bones going to turn to dust. It's like, you do anything. They say it takes at least 2 weeks of non-activity. Like someone, say you're in a comatose state and you're laying in bed like this, not moving, before muscle atrophy. So if you've got some size to you and you do any type of resistance, whether it be push-ups, pull-ups, pulling on a towel, as long as you're squeezing the muscle and giving it resistance, you're not going to lose any size. They think, oh, no, I've got to bench 400 every couple of days to keep my chest size. No, if you just do push-up after push-up after push-up, you're still going to keep your chest size. It's not going to go anywhere. So these people,
as long as you keep moving, exactly. As long as you keep moving. I mean, it's not, you know, I think it's more of a, it's obviously more of a mental thing, I think, for most guys. They think that.
They can't walk around the gym on their cell phones taking selfies, looking at themselves in the mirror. So,
yeah.
Like, and I think it's actually good because when you're stuck at home, you start coming up with great exercises or exercises that you used to do when you were young, the basics, which actually feel great. I've been doing some of the basics at home, going just a little bit lighter. You know, my legs haven't been sore for years, and they were sore as hell the other day just from doing body weight lunges again, like hundreds of reps and body weight squats. I got a leg extension, the old one, you put the plates on the front of it and stuff like that. And then I was doing just stuff where because you're going lighter, you're just squeezing the muscle more. I've been actually had a few sore muscles lately that I haven't had for years at the gym. So,
right. Yeah. I did a workout with, just bands. I was just holding the bands like up here and doing body weight squats. I did like 3 sets of 30 and then I did some, lunges, like you said, no weight. Yeah. And I was fucking smoked the next day for a couple days.
And next day I'm sitting there and the cat jumped on my lap. And I'm like, oh, fucking, my wife's like, what? She claw you? I said, no, just the cat's body weight. My legs feel bruised. You probably get some better physiques out of this, actually going back to the old basics and making stuff up, because you know, you go to a gym after a while, we do basics, but then the gym has so many machines, we all get fucking lazy and we start using machines and shit. So who knows, you might get some better physiques out of coming out of this lockdown. Look at some of the physiques that come out of fucking jail, and they got very basic shit. So
I haven't done, I never do push-ups. I never do push-ups. But now I'm forced to do them because I have bands and nothing else. So if I want to train chest, I'm forced to do push-ups. And it's a whole different, thing.
You can do them wide, do them like this. You can do them closer this way, get your triceps. Or then you can do them with your feet up on a bench so you're down that way. Or go the other way where you put your hands up on the bench and your foot on an angle like that to hit the upper part. So there's so many variations of push-ups you can do. And like you said, at the end of it, your chest is actually sore. You can feel it getting pumped and that sort of thing. And then, like I said, I normally, if I'm doing push-ups, then I'll start bringing them in narrow. So you are doing them for triceps and stuff. And I end up just going from chest to triceps with body weight. And I said it before, you know, body weight exercises, you know, do really well. You know, your body can't tell whether you're lifting a dumbbell or your body weight. As long as the muscle's under tension and shit, it doesn't know. Now, look at some of the physiques you see just from body weight. Look at some of those gymnasts that are on the rings and on the bars and stuff, just holding their body weight. But what it is, you see, it's amazing. You see those guys, I said at the Dave on the RX show, where, you know, you see a guy at the gym, he weighs 180 pounds and he's got the pull down. He'll have like 300 pounds stack and he's fucking pulling it like this. But he hops up on a bar, he can pull 300 pounds on the pull down, but he's 180 pounds and he can't pull himself up for one chin up.
I'm like, that doesn't make sense. So. Yeah, it's true. Those gymnast guys have pretty gnarly arms. Their delts and arms, triceps.
Especially the ones that do the rings, and they can just hold them in the crucifixion pose. Yeah. And even the ones, you get the ones that do, I think they, I know some do specialize in things, but you get the ones that do the hobble horse, that thing where they're flicking their legs over the side of it and going round and round. And then you get the ones on the parallel bars and then up on the rings. Because if you look at their upper bodies, I said they're not very tall guys and stuff, but they could be like bantamweight bodybuilders, the arms, the triceps, the chests on them, the shoulders and stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah, they're impressive. And I imagine they don't use many weights.
No, I watched one training thing on them. So they use every now and then a little bit, but generally just body weight repetition after repetition of doing those exercises. Like I said, anything they do is the triceps pushing themselves up on there, biceps pulling up on the other thing and stuff. And as I used to say before about the same way I used to train calves, I used to go heavy on calves, but my calves responded the best when I used a lot of body weight, just doing 100 rep sets on a step somewhere, because I used to look back and think, well, look at these male ballet dancers, you know, great quads, but you look at the calves on them, of course, they're always up on the ball of their toe doing their male ballet dancing. They've got calves like this.
Yeah.
Just body weight up on the feet. Because how many times have we been to a gym and we've seen that fucking gronk in the gym? He's got the calf machine fucking loaded or the leg press loaded doing these little tiny fucking reps like this. And his fucking calves that fucking big. It's like, come on, mate. It's just like you're working your fucking chin muscle. You're not even doing it properly. But yet he's got that thing fucking loaded up and he's got no calves whatsoever. I've seen people use more weight on their calves than they do on fucking leg press for their quads. And I'm thinking, how's that possible? Your quad muscles are fucking like this.
Yeah.
And you're doing like six plates. You go to do calves and now you've got fucking 10 plates on and your calves like that. It's like, come on.
It's a 1-inch range of motion.
Exactly.
Soccer players too often have good calves and they don't do calves. They don't train calves. They just run around.
I tell you guys really good quads and that are not actually like long distance or marathon runners, you burn up muscle. But you ever notice sprinters when they run, or even sprint cyclists who do those short explosive fucking on the bikes? You've seen some of the quads and legs on those fucking guys. It's like
There's one guy in particular, I don't know what his name is, but he's known for that. He has really good quads, and he's a cyclist of some kind. I'd imagine he's just like does the short distance explosive stuff. Yeah. But his quads are huge. They're I don't know who he is. I'm sure people know who he is.
When you're talking about, but they look like fucking like back in the day, Paul DeMeo type quad type thing.
Yeah.
And fucking Branch Warren quads looking. Yeah, but I think I've seen him train once, and even when he trains, he would do heavy squats, but he just does real quick explosive movements.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, and they build up like that. But yeah, I remember seeing him, like his upper body's nothing great, but you look at his fucking legs, you're like, fucking I'm gonna go buy a bike and just fucking sprint up and down my street a bit.
There you go. All right.
Good work.
I'll get into some of these questions. Harry Culligan says, can you talk about your method for bulking / cutting? I know you're really well known for some legendary bulks. So, yeah, method for bulking / cutting, if you have one.
There is only one method for bulking, and that's fucking eat. I get this all the time. How do I bulk up? What sort of bulking diet? I hate when they say, what sort of bulking diet should I do? Bulking and diet do not go in the same sentence. If you want to bulk, just fucking eat. And the thing was, too, when I'd bulk up, I'd eat somewhat clean food. I might have a nice steak and rice. But then an hour later, I might go to McDonald's. And then an hour and a half later, I might have chicken and vegetables. But then an hour after that, I might have a bowl of ice cream and some fucking chocolate brownies. So I would still eat good food, but it's everything in between that would be what helped put the weight on. So then when it comes time to diet, I still kept the steak and rice in, the chicken and whatever. I just cut out all that fucking in-between food and just ate clean. So, you know, when I got ready for a contest, my training never changed. Well, the only thing I changed was eating clean and doing cardio. But bulking in the off-season was just eat whatever you fucking want. You know, people go, well, I'm bulking up, but I can only eat this much. No, you can't. Eat your fucking full every meal. But even then, I wouldn't even have big meals. As I said, I might have a bowl of ice cream and a packet of chips. And then an hour later, a protein drink. And maybe a chocolate bar. And then an hour later, if I'm out somewhere, I might just grab a small Chinese meal. So it was more like a cow grazing all day. I wouldn't sit down to five or six big meals. I'd just be constantly picking at stuff. If I had a meal here, half hour later, I'm in the kitchen, I'll grab a small packet of salted cashew nuts. And then an hour later, I might have a bowl of cereal. Then an hour later, I might have something. So I'm pretty much just eating all day long. So that was it.
Interesting. So there's no... in your off seasons, like when you got to like 280 plus, there was no real structure. It was just kind of did you eat to a degree that made you uncomfortable? Like, were you pushing the food really hard, or were you just eating comfortably?
I've never been like that. No, I ate comfortably. I've never been one of those people that would sit there and force feed myself, where you get to the point where you're like, oh, I'm so stuffed that I've got to keep eating. I was never like that. If I got full, I'm full. And then, like I said, I'd wait an hour or two and then go eat something else. But even if I had, like, I've never been one of those people, if I brought a large pizza, I wouldn't eat the whole thing because I just get bored of it. I might have a couple of slices and go, okay, I'm done. I'll go pick at something else now. I just don't like eating one big meal of the same thing. I've got to eat different things. Like, if I went to a buffet every day, that'd be perfect. I could just grab a couple of chicken wings here, grab a little hot dog over here, grab one piece of pizza there. So it'd be just almost like having a, as long as I had a whole different, vast different things of food, like if I had steak in the fridge, chicken, rice, vegetables, if I had, you know, chocolates, ice cream, potato chips, cashew nuts. So as long as I had like a vast range of food in the house where I could just pick at different things all day long, that's all it was. So
yeah,
and the reason I got, people say, well, did you aim for a weight? I never aimed for a weight. It's just that depending how long I had between shows, like sometimes the heaviest I might have got was 240, 250. If I had a show coming up, I'd have to diet. But generally, if I did like the Ironman, the Arnold, and that beginning of the year, I did nothing to the Olympia. I had that long time in between, just eat what I wanted. That's when I got to like 280 or so. But if I was going to do shows a bit early, I might only get to 240 and then diet back down. So.
Right. Was that something you did your whole career? So, like, I know there's a video of you squatting 5 plates for reps, and you're very young. You're probably like 17, and you're like laying on the ground in between sets. Oh, you know the video? So, like, back then, like, you won the Mr. Australia when you were 17, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, back then, like, the off season going from maybe your first Mr. Australia to your second, were you getting really heavy then?
Yeah.
In the off season?
Yeah, and people would always say, you're a fat pig, you'll never get in shape. And I actually had training partners. Because I was young, my training partners were older, and they used to do the same thing. They would get really fat in the off season. Oh, you'll never get in shape. They'd do the same with me. They'd diet down, and each of them would win their classes as well. So I never worried what people thought about in the off season. People are like, oh, you're a fat pig, you're this, you're that, look how you look. Whereas now, we are just with Instagram and social media, everyone wants to try stay with the abs look and this and that. And
yeah,
I kind of rubbish it. And I used to look at people too, like, you know, Sean Ray is a bodybuilder, great person, bodybuilder as a person, he's a cunt still, but as a bodybuilder, he was great. And you'd notice Sean every year, he'd stay pretty lean all year, but every year he'd look fantastic in contest. But then you'd see the Dorians, the Nasser Elson bodies, and all these people, the ones that really bulked up every year when they dieted down, you'd be like, fuck, look at the improvements, look at the improvements. So I just went off that thinking that, you know, to add more muscle size, you've got to get a little bit heavier. Yeah, you can probably do it staying lean, but I think it's a lot harder to try put mass and good quality muscle on eating high amounts of clean food, because it's just the amount of food you got to eat is just like, you know, imagine trying to shove down 8,000 calories of clean chicken breast and rice and vegetables and shit. Whereas
I can eat
chicken breast and rice, and then next meal I go a couple of Big Macs. There's a couple of 1,000 calories right there. So that's
It's kind of a lost art, that super bulk in the off season, getting really big and heavy. There's some guys that still do it, but I know Antoine. You know Antoine, the Canadian. He got really big and heavy recently. He was like well over like 330 or something. He kind of did that whole bulk up really heavy, but that's something that most guys don't, a lot of guys don't do anymore.
I think sometimes too, I don't know if he gets super heavy, but I've seen him get a fairly big, as Luke from England. He puts a bit of size on the off season, but when he comes in contest shape, he looks great. So
he's good at he keeps himself pretty well covered up when he's when he's over 300 pounds. I don't think he wants anyone to see, you know, what's under there at those sort of body weights. Not that he would be out of shape or anything, but
And then too, it really doesn't matter. As long as you're lifting the heavy weights and training hard and doing that, you know, as long as you can do it, do it. If you haven't got a problem losing the weight, I just don't see a problem doing it. And I always found too, my body responded. When I was really heavy, say 280, and I knew contest time was coming up, my mindset would just go, and I'd switch on, go into contest mode, cardio mode. I'd lose it pretty quick, because by that point too, I'm pretty much sick of eating junk food. Whereas people go, leave from 280 down to contest, that must be hard. I said, no, I said, the years where I was 240 odd that was harder because I'm like, normally I'm 280, but now I'm starting at 240. I'm already 40 pounds ahead of the game. So in my mindset, I wouldn't push myself as hard to begin with. Whereas when I'm 280, I'm like, fuck, like, you've got to go for it, get in shape. Yeah. Whereas if I was 40 pounds lighter, I'm like, I can take it a bit easier. So I'd rather be like, you know, at a heavy weight and come down. It's almost like sometimes when I get lazy with myself, and when I started off in the bodybuilding, had the contracts, they weren't great. So I'd be like, you know what, I should be out doing more, maybe this and that, or go get a bigger contract or guest pose more, but I can't be bothered. So I'd go buy a car. I'm like, get this big car payment. Now I'm like, well, fuck, how are you going to pay for that, Lee? You got to go out and get some more work. So I'd have to put myself in a bit of debt to go force myself to go fucking make more money. So
yeah. Yeah, you also said, I've heard you say that you mentally, when you were, when you stayed at 240, your diet was kind of, it wasn't that different from pre-contest because you kept your weight so low. So when you started your diet, you're like, well, I feel like I've already been dieting. And now I wasn't eating as much, you know, KFC and pizza and chocolates. So now that I'm starting at 240, it feels like I've already been dieting. So you're kind of, you're kind of not as fresh going from when you, when you're 280 and you're eating burgers, going to the diet's a bit easier because you're kind of, like you said, you're sick of all that stuff. When you're 240,
your body responds. I think your body responds better too. That's the same as like a lot of off seasons. People are like, Lee, what gear do you take off season? I'm like, nothing. I said, the amount of food I'm eating, just the nutrition and training, I'm sleeping because I'm, you know, when you eat a lot of carbs, as soon as you finish training, you're like, fucking fall asleep watching TV all the time. So I just didn't take any gear. And that's why I've always used a small amount. So I figure, being off the gear for 5-6 months at a time, when you do take it again, even using small amounts, your body just reacts to it. So whereas you got these guys who are continually on it all year round, and they say, you know, they, what do they call it, fucking, when they go high but then they come down or whatever they call it,
blasting cruise.
Blasting cruise. I'm like, I wouldn't even blast. I'd just let a good amount that I knew worked for me. I'd come off it for a couple of months, and then when come contest time, I'd go back on it. So like you said, these guys, they blast and they cram on, but then I'm off it now. Well, you're not off it, you're just cruising, you just lowered your dose down. So if your body's always on it, it's like anything. It's like when I'd eat so much junk food, I get so heavy. Within my first 2 weeks of eating clean, I'd drop about almost 15-20 pounds. That was just water because I'm eating so much fucking salt, so much dairy. You know, as soon as I have dairy like milk and ice cream, that's why my face was so fucking from all the food I'd carry. As soon as I went from water processed type shitty food, I'd start Monday, everything, just this oatmeal, rice, chicken, and normally for the first week or two, I'd feel sick because I'm having all this processed food, all this high sugar food, and in one day, I'd just go whack and cut it. My body would be like, look, I'd almost go into shock because my body's like craving all this shit. But I'd drop about probably 15 pounds in the first week or two, and half of that was just fucking water weight from all the crap food I was eating.
The one thing, too, about you, I remember asking you before, is most guys who are 5'5 and a half and 280 are going to talk about how horrible that body weight was to carry around and how cumbersome they were and how tying their shoes and this and that and sleeping all day. But you seemed to, it seemed to not really bother you.
It didn't bother me at all. I was out doing anything generally. Some people, like, even tying the shoes was never. I think I remember the very first time I hit 250, I was sort of a little bit uncomfortable. But then, because I did it every time so often, it just felt normal to me. So even at 280, I could go out all day walking, wouldn't bother me, go to amusement parks, walk around all day and stuff. So, like you said, there are people that as soon as they get that weight, all you they're sitting down or even heavy. But to me, it just felt normal. So when I lose the weight, got the weight, it didn't bother me at all. Whereas some guys, you see them after a show, once they put the weight on, they're just like, it's like, no, it just felt normal to me. Because people always ask me, how's it feel being that weight? I'm like, feels the same as when I'm in contest. Well, you know, in contest shape, I'd say it felt different because you're doing more cardio and that. You always feel like you got more energy because when I get to the contest mode, I become more like a drill sergeant. Eat at this time, train at that time, cardio this time, meal again at this time. I'm so regimented, so that changes. But then because I'm doing so much cardio, it's like off season I could go walk all day, but if I'm not walking, I sit on the couch, I'd be like this. But contest time, I'd sit down, I'd be like, I gotta do something, I gotta keep moving. Your mind's in that frame of just because you're busy, I can't sit still, so I just
harder to sleep too.
I'd go off and do something else. So I just find super deal. Even if it was around the yard, or go out and mow the yard, or go do some gardening. As long as I kept moving, kept busy, vacuuming the house 3 times a day or dusting. It's just like I just find stuff to do rather than sit there. It just felt like if I'm getting ready for a show, I shouldn't be sitting there for that amount of time.
Right.
Whereas now I sit and watch 10 episodes of a fucking TV show in one day. I'm like, oh.
What are you watching right now?
I just finished watching that last one I posted up. It was about like a containment, about a virus show. That's an older one from like a couple of years ago.
How appropriate.
I finished watching the last season, season 7 of Blacklist. I finished that one.
Okay.
And that's the thing, though. I hate when they put the whole season. You know, I hate when it comes up one episode a week because you've got to wait a week to watch it.
Right.
I think I've got to catch up on a couple of Picard at the moment, too, the Star Trek one. But I hate when they put up one a week because you've got to wait the week. But then when they put the whole season up, I sit there and watch the whole thing in 2 days. Now I'm like, oh, fuck, now I've got to wait a year probably for the next season to come out. So,
yeah. I heard the new Star Trek one is good.
Yeah, it is, Picard. It is pretty good. And then I did watch Power. I finished that one, and they're meant to be having a spin-off from that one coming out later too. So,
did you watch the Mandalorian?
Yes, I did. I enjoyed that. That was pretty good. You know, I never watched Game of Thrones. And the thing is too, it's like, because I think if I started, I might like it. And now there's like 8 seasons. Mm-hmm. If there's something where it's 1 or 2 seasons,
it's overwhelming. I'll start watching it. Yeah,
I watch 1 or 2, and then I can catch up. But if it's something where it's like, start watching now and there's 6 seasons, 7, I'm like, oh fuck, if I like it, then I gotta catch up on all that shit. So I'm
How I feel. I'm pretty sure I would like that. But well, fuck,
sometimes
it.
I might go to season 2 or 3. If I watch season 1, I'm like, oh, season 2, let me just go to season 3, because at the beginning of season 3 it gives you the whole fucking recap, so I just sort of catch up really quick. Or you go on YouTube,
play catch up.
Go on YouTube where it says, you know, such and such season broken down in 15 minutes, like the main parts. I just do that, okay.
All right, like this guy.
Of Anarchy, I never got into that because there's too many seasons. I'm like, oh, there's too many. And people say Breaking Bad was good. I'm like, oh, too many seasons. I can't fucking.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way about a lot of those shows. It just seems like such an investment when they're already out and there's 8 seasons. And yeah. This guy has.
I can watch a movie about it.
Yeah. This guy asks, how did you come up with the mental hamster? Which you didn't, but.
My friend Aaron did it because he just got to the point where, you know, he had Alpha before, and Alpha's been used so much. He just figured, you know what, I'm just going to, look, he'll just prove a point that people will buy anything named anything. So he goes, what silly animal can I come up with that, you know, no one's ever used before? So he just figured, I'm going to use a fucking hamster. You know, I could use a rat, a mouse, whatever. He goes, a hamster's a funny character, so I'm just going to come up with mental hamster just to prove that you can call anything, and people will buy it. So, yeah, we have the mental hamster products. We've got the mental culture clothing, the mental vodka and stuff like that. And, you know, it's funny, too, because in the beginning, people are like, you know, some of the products, bipolar is the pre-workout. And he's like, I call it bipolar because he goes, I have bipolar. And plus, you take it, you get on this big fucking high and go nuts, but then he goes, you get the worst fucking crash when you come down off it. So it's like having bipolar. But even people have been like, I don't like the name of that product. I have a son that has bipolar. It's like, oh, fuck off. It's like, all these people, they get offended about even the word mental for a while. They try to say, well, you know, having the name mental on the thing is not good for people with disabilities and mental problems. I'm like, oh, really? Fuck off.
Can't say retarded. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm fucking retarded, so I tell people I'll use the word retarded all I want because I'm fucking retarded.
That's a good point.
Truth be known, if someone is really that retarded, they're not going to know what the word retarded means. They'll be like, what's he saying? It's like, what the fuck? They're not going to
fucking
know. Did he call me good? No. I was like, oh, fuck off. You can't say midget. You can't say this. I get called a midget all the time. I don't care. It's like, fuck.
Yeah. I mean,
when did we become so sensitive in the world? That's what I don't get. Because, like, so many comedians out there still, you know, I like the Dave Chappelle special, love Jim Jefferies from Australia. The ones that push the envelope and don't care what they say, you know, Bill Burr, there's been a couple of the Netflix, they're like, this is probably my last one because they say what we're thinking. But the thing is, you can distinguish between a joke and comedy than actually abusing someone. Using the word retard, making a retarded joke, You're not actually looking at someone saying, you're a fucking retard, you dickhead, you dish, you're a fucking loser. There's a big difference between actually abusing someone and using something in comedy. It's like, if we can't laugh at ourselves and laugh at this and that, what can you do? I said, there's so much shit that goes on in the world, you need to sit back and have a laugh. And years ago, it didn't matter. You could make fun of races, religions, this and that, but now it's like, we can't make fun of that religion, we can't make fun of that race. Why not? It's a fucking joke. We all do it, so just fucking laugh at it. You're not fucking actually abusing someone and putting someone down. It's comedy, and it never offended people before. It's like when that Kevin Hart got in trouble for, he was going to host the Oscars, and someone brought up a tweet he did 10 years ago where he mentioned something about if his son was gay, oh, he's homophobic, he's this, he's that. He's like, what the fuck? He's like, you people. It's like, who the fuck goes back 10 years to look for a text where it's like, come on. It's like, I watched his special on Netflix, that six-part special where he's actually, have you seen? It's pretty good about Kevin Hart and his life. It's almost like a documentary on his life, and he gets to that bit. He's just like, yes, people that know me know I'm not homophobic and this and that. So he goes, you know, for a long time he fought. He's like, I'm not going to apologize for it. And to me, too, it's like, people say, Lee, do you ever feel bad about saying that? I'm like, no. I said, because you can't please, you know, you've always been told you can't please everyone. Right. You see a movie star or a politician will come out and they'll say something, and all of a sudden, well, he said this, he said that, apologize. And then they come on TV, I want to apologize. No, don't fucking apologize. If that's what you said and you didn't mean it in that way, why you got to apologize for it? Because say there's 1,000 people, you say something, this 10 people over here might take it that way, but that's not what you meant. So why apologize? Yeah. Then you come on TV and you say, look, I apologize, and say something else. Okay, these 10 people are happy, but now these 10 people are pissed off because now you've said something else, and now they don't like what you said. So I was like, as long as you're not out there using it in a malicious way, deliberately attacking someone, if you're just saying it as that's how you feel and that's how you think, it's your opinion, well, everyone, like I said, you're not going to please everybody, so why should you come back and have to say sorry if you didn't mean it that way? I say a lot of stuff sometimes. People go, Lee, you're racist. It's like, there isn't any racism in what I'm saying, but in your mind, that's what you're hearing. I can't control, you know, it's like when people say, he made me do it, he got me upset, he made me do it. It's like, no one makes you do anything. You know, you can hear what someone says. Someone can get you mad if you want, but I can say anything, but how you react to it, that's on you. So
yeah,
I can say certain things. I can say certain things, and in someone's brain, they interpret as, oh, hear what he just said, he's being racist. People go, what? How the fuck did you get that from that? Well, this and that. And well, it's like, oh, fucking
hell. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think context is important with that sort of thing. You don't, just because, I mean, I remember I listened to at what point are we going to make the word slow not allowed? Because the word retard or retarded doesn't necessarily refer to someone who's mentally challenged. I was watching an interview with some scientist or something not too long ago, and he used the word retarded in a sentence. Like, he said, something happened, or I think it was something about like they were exploring the Amazon jungle, and they came up to something that retarded their quest, and that's how he used it. And he's like this well-to-do fucking PhD, you know, the whole nine, and he said that whatever happened which retarded our quest, and it just means slowed it down. If I say this microphone is retarded, I don't necessarily, because it's not working or something, you know, I don't mean it like it's mentally challenged, like those poor people. It's just not, that's not what I mean.
And the thing was, too, if I had a retarded child, you're saying your microphone's retarded. I know you're talking about the microphone. I know you're not talking about my child sitting right here. I can distinguish the difference, so I wouldn't get upset by it. But these people go, oh, my God, he just said this and said that. I'm like, what? All of a sudden, he's just talking to you and your retarded child, is he? He's not talking about his microphone. Yeah. He's actually looking down the barrel, you and your fucking kid. It's like, what the fuck? It's this day and age, I think people just look for stuff to, you know, just looking, nitpicking stuff. And so many times, I remember when I was in America watching Howard Stern, or even when I do these things, I can guarantee when you go to the comment section, every time I do the Dave Show or do Sam's Fitness videos and stuff, it's the same people bitching about me every time. I'm thinking, then why do you fucking watch me?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say silly shit and stuff like that, but all the stuff I tell you when I do my posts on my Instagram at the moment, those life lesson things, I say, look, this is just done in fun. Don't take it serious. When I did that religious one the other day about the meaning of Easter and the chocolate.
Yeah, that was good.
People in there, a few people, you're going to hell. You shouldn't make fun of religion. I said, look, mate, I said, I'm having a laugh. That's all it is. Fucking hell. Yeah, just, yeah. If you don't like it, you know I'm this way. If it says in the beginning, this is done in fun. If you're offended, don't watch it. Don't fucking watch it.